Mariana, what is the most important holiday of the year?
The 4th of July.
Oh my gosh, why would you say that?
Well, because it celebrates America.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I'm sure...
I'm there.
I'm not sure everyone would agree with you, but I would say the 4th of July, or any nation's national celebration, whether it's America or not, is a great opportunity to celebrate with some sparkling wine.
Pour me up.
All right, should we do it?
Yes.
Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair.
Yahoo!
And we have a special guest today. We have...
Mayor.
And we have another special guest in Jack.
Yay!
We're all here. Okay, a quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. In each episode, we learn about and taste and give our honest review of three wines that are reasonably priced, which means under $20 each and should be easy for you to find. And our podcast is made for people who love wine and who maybe want to learn more about wine or find new wines to explore in a fun and unsnobby way. So if that sounds like you, you are in the right place.
Yes.
And we invite you to taste these wines or another wine that you have in your stash along with us as a fun way to participate. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, you are...
driving.
If you're driving, please don't drink along
yes,
with us.
Yes, we are not condoning that. We are not...
Not a good idea.
That at all.
Yeah, and we're proud to say that we are officially recommended by the editors of Decanter Magazine, who call us fun, irreverent,
chatty,
and entertaining. Okay, well, Carmela, as we said in this intro, an important day is coming up as we record this podcast, and it's a day to celebrate for many reasons.
Right.
And that day is the 4th of July.
Woo.
Now, for those of you who are not from the United States, and some of our listeners are not from the United States, that day is important because it's the day we celebrate our...
Mariana.
You've ruined it. Our independence as a country. So that's one reason to celebrate.
Okay.
And it's also a national holiday, so that means people in the United States get the day off.
True.
And that's another reason to celebrate. But maybe the most important reason...
Oh, definitely the most important.
...is the... It's the birthday of our daughter, Mayor, or Mariana.
Yay! Lunch with Mayor.
That's right. Who has joined us today from across the country to be with us just for this podcast today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my question
is... the only reason why I come back ever.
Do we get to share the birthing story?
No.
Oh, God.
Nothing about it? Or like the day she was born, we don't get to give any information about that?
I just think that's weird. I don't want to talk
about it. Are you okay
with
this?
This is about wine and drinking wine.
Look,
yeah. Now, sometimes when you drink a lot...
wine, okay?
And yes, I think people who give birth probably need wine. And I also think that sometimes having wine helps you... get to the point where you're going to have children,
right?
Oh, God.
You know?
Oh wow.
Okay.
But
they don't seem totally related. So
and
I
you know
think
you don't really drink. At least we were really encouraged not to drink when we were pregnant during that time.
So true.
So I didn't drink at all. So believe me, ready to have a glass of wine when that baby was born.
Get her another round.
Jeez. Okay. I've just lost.
I know. You lost the floor.
I've lost the floor.
When the girls are here, you might as well take a back seat.
Okay.
So true.
Can I get back on the subject?
Uh-huh.
Okay. We're going to celebrate all those awesome things, and we are doing our second annual episode on great American sparkling wines.
Wow.
Just in time for the 4th of July. And this is the 2023 edition. And this year we have some new fun sparkling wines to try that we didn't cover last year. Though we really did like the wines that we tried last year. But now we're going to like them better because Mariana's here.
Of course.
I make everything more fun.
That's right.
And everything tastes better.
Okay, now I say this all the time, Mariana, but this is true. You don't have to save sparkling wines for celebrations. I think we used to think you have to save...
Well, every day is a celebration with me.
That's true. That's true. And just every day is a good day for sparkling wine.
Right.
But I do think if you have a special occasion, you should have a sparkling wine.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And I think there are a lot of times where people think of July 4th and maybe they don't think of sparkling wines, even though it's a celebration.
Oh, my God. And exactly. What do you do on the 4th of July? You light sparklers.
That's right.
Sparklers, sparkling.
Right. It goes hand in hand.
That's right. And now some of you may be like wondering, why are we saying sparkling and not champagne? Mariana, why are we saying sparkling wine and not champagne?
Because champagne only comes from the Champagne region of France. And we are drinking wines from all around the world.
No, America.
Okay, America.
This one's going to be America.
Because I pay attention.
Good job. That's so good. I have taught you so well, Mariana. Okay, we're going to talk about American sparkling wines. the 4th of July. We're going to taste and review three American sparkling wines from three different states.
Nice.
From the United States of America. And they're all made with different grapes. And one of them is actually a sparkling rosé. Mm. So I think we got to get down to it. But first,
you got to do our shameless plug.
That's right. So we want to start by saying thank you for listening to us and supporting our show. And if you haven't had the chance to do so yet, this would be a really good time to subscribe. All you have to do is just press that
click it.
That's right. It's a free way to support us and you never have to miss a show. And thank you to all of you who have already subscribed. And another great free way to support us is to leave a rating and review. I mean, how hard is that? Wow. How hard is that, Mariana?
Also, they can support you by supporting me. At Munch with Mayor.
Nice. Whoa. A little side plug, shameless plug.
Just had to sneak it in there.
And when you're on Munch with Mayor, you can also follow the Wine Pair Podcast on Instagram. So there you go. Okay. And you can visit our website at thewinepairpodcast.com. And as we do every week, we're going to tell you someone we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast. Mm. And this week, when you hear this word, we want you to think of the Wine Pair Podcast and immediately tell the person that you're talking to or sitting next to or whatever, that they need to listen to this episode of the Wine Pair Podcast. And this week, the word is...
America.
No.
No. Sparkling.
No.
4th of July?
No. Fireworks.
Oh! Firecracker. Fireworks. You're not going to hear that very often.
Why not?
I don't know.
People don't say fireworks around the 4th of July.
Okay, maybe around the 4th of July. Yes. Okay.
Well, that's the whole point.
Okay.
That's the whole point.
Okay, so right over my head.
When you hear the word fireworks, I swear we're talking about the 4th. I don't know what's going on.
Again, no script.
Very clearly. Okay. We're gonna talk about why American sparkling wines are great. Are you ready for that?
I can't wait.
Okay. So first, it may surprise you to know, Carmela and Mariana and Jack. Jack's being very silent here, but, you know, he's being respectful. That the United States is actually the 5th largest sparkling wine producer in the whole wide world.
The fifth.
Yeah, so who's number one?
France.
No. France is number two. Who's number one?
Spain?
No.
Italy?
Spain is number four. Italy's number one.
Yeah. Nice
you know
job,
who number
huh?
three is? You know who number three is?
Switzerland.
Close. Germany.
Oh, wow.
Isn't I remember that crazy? Now. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, those five countries, Italy, France, Germany, Spain, and the United States, account for 80% of all the sparkling wine production in the world.
Wow. What else is there?
There's a lot of other countries. We've had sparkling wines from Argentina. We've had sparkling wines from, sparkling wines from all over the place. Mm-hmm. But those account for 80%. And the United States counts for about 6% of the total production. And that's about 162 million bottles a year.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
I think that's as much as I drink a year.
Wow. Could be.
Well, interesting that you mentioned that. Interesting segue. They don't have the script. I do. The United States is also no slouch when it comes to the consumption of sparkling wine. Uh-huh. So according to Forbes, and that's where I'm getting a lot of information today, which you can find in our show notes if you go to our episode and on our website and look at the show notes, so you can get the links. Okay, anyway, the U.S. is number 3 in the world in sparkling wine consumption.
Okay.
So we're either fifth,
know how to party or we feel like we need to toss it back because we're having just a heck of a time.
That's right.
So which one is it?
I don't know.
Probably both.
Probably both. So we're 5th in production, 3rd in drinking. Do you know who number one in terms of sparkling wine consumption
drinkers?
Is?
Hmm.
Oh, I don't know.
It's those Germans again.
I was just going to say.
The Germans again.
If I was in Germany, yeah, I think that I would.
Oh, God.
And we talked about that in our previous episode about German sparkling wines called... Let's talk about Sekt.
Oh, true.
Oh, is it called Sekt?
It is.
Wow.
You're so smart.
I'm so smart and important.
Okay.
And strong.
Now, we mentioned this last year in our episode, but although there are laws regulating the use of the term champagne when it comes to sparkling wine, again, only supposed to use it if it's
champagne,
from Spain.
France.
Now, some U.S. producers have been allowed to continue to use the term as long as the vineyard was founded before 2006. Wow. And the geographical region comes before the word champagne. So if they had been making sparkling wine before 2006 in California, they can call it California champagne.
Oh, sort of grandfathered in.
Yeah.
Seems like cheating.
Huh. It's lame. I agree. It's totally lame. Hmm. I don't think they should be allowed to do that anymore, but they do it. Hmm. And I actually think that most of the time, if you see that like California champagne, it's probably going to be shit.
Oh, wow.
Probably going to be bad.
Drama.
Because I don't think good sparkling wine producers put champagne on it.
No, they want to like stand alone. They're like, we don't need to be backed up by this. We're our own people.
That's nice. Right. We do our own thing. That's and it's psychology. Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are some very high quality producers of sparkling wine in the U.S. And you may recognize some of the names. Okay. One of them is Schramsberg. You've heard of Schramsberg, okay?
Never.
How about Domaine Chandon? Chandon. You've heard of Chandon. Domaine Carneros. How about Roederer? How about Gloria Ferrer?
Oh.
Any of these ring a bell?
Not really.
Okay, I don't know who I'm talking to. Okay, now a lot of these sparkling wines, which are some of the top producers, Jack knows. Jack is give the embarrassed for you guys, Jack, but yeah. So
totally embarrassing.
Yeah, I am. I am too. They have direct relations with champagne houses in France. Mm. By the way, like Chandon in the United States has a direct relationship with Chandon in France. Anyway, the quality of sparkling wine in the United States keeps getting better. But the problem with those sparkling wines is they can be a little pricey.
I was just wondering. Right? Yeah.
So what if you want to just have a good sparkling wine?
On a Tuesday night.
Yeah, and you don't want to break the bank. Mm, what do you do? True. What do you do?
You
listen to this podcast.
And you that's find what I'm out. Telling you. Okay? Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So I think we're starting to see a lot of lower cost sparkling wines come on the market that are of good quality. And we're going to try a few in this episode.
I'm excited.
Okay. Now, here's some other fun facts.
Okay.
Now, most of you may know that the majority of sparkling wine in the United States comes from where? What state?
California, probably.
Right. Exactly. But do you know what the first state was that made bubbly? Guess. Just guess. Which was the first state?
Oh, Oregon.
God.
Nope.
New York.
Ohio.
Oh, wow.
Ohio. Did you know that? It's true. No. Okay. Now,
I like them more now.
Now, interesting fact, Mariana, is that New York State makes sparkling wines.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They make quite a few sparkling wines. Do you know what area of the state they come from? It's kind of a well-known name.
Oh.
Something Lakes. The Finger Lakes. It comes from the Finger Lakes area. Nice. And they often make their sparkling wine from Riesling.
Okay.
So that's kind of unusual, a little unique. Mm-hmm. Now, the great state of Washington, which we're in, makes a lot of bubbly. And another surprise is a sparkling wine called Gruet, which comes from New Mexico.
Oh.
Right? So, wow. And that's one of my favorites. So basically, states all over the place, all over this great country of ours that we're celebrating, mostly because it's Mariana's birthday, they make sparkling wines.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's also sparkling wine. You said it, Carmela. There's sparkling wine made in Oregon. There's sparkling wine made in Virginia. Mm. There's sparkling wine made in Michigan.
Wow.
Yeah. So maybe you thought, hey, beer is the real American drink to have.
Wrong.
Yeah, it's not the most American drink to have, right? For the 4th of July. And I'm not saying there's anything bad about knocking back a few cold ones. That's okay.
Right, right.
But what I will say is there's nothing as American as a good old American sparkling wine.
That's nice. Right. That's just right. What we like.
Mm-hmm. So put away your Prosecco and put away your Cava and put away your champagne, although we love those sparkling wines. But on 4th of July, on Mariana's birthday, it's time to drink some American sparkling wines.
Yippee!
Okay, so what do you think?
I'm ready to drink.
Well, before we do that, Mariana, need to learn a little bit more about the specific wines that we're going to be drinking today.
You know what
the
anticipation for, huh? Is
I know, that's all part of it. But we got to help our listeners understand what are some great sparkling wines so they can find them. Okay?
Okay.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So, as usual, all the wines that we've chosen for this episode are under $20.
Whoa.
Such a great price point.
Mariana, what's the most you will ever pay for a bottle of wine?
You know, I used to be a total Trader Joe's, two-buck chuck type girl, but in New York, you cannot buy wine at grocery stores, and it's taken a toll on me. So I usually end up spending $10 to $15 on a bottle of wine.
Yeah, okay. Does that seem like a lot?
You know, it feels like a lot right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? It's perfect for this podcast, because we try to keep it under 20.
That's my kind of.
You are the audience, dear.
That's right. And they should be relatively easy to find because I bought them all on wine.com. So, hey,
awesome.
There you go. And at least
you can have it delivered. See? Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, at least one of these wines I also know that you can find in grocery stores because Carmela, we actually bought it at a grocery store and we brought it to a party with some friends, this sparkling wine, and they loved it.
Oh, good.
They loved it.
I don't remember what party.
You don't? You don't remember the wine party that we had?
With our friends?
Yeah, the party with our friends.
Oh,
where
yes,
the friends
I remember.
Were.
That was super fun.
I didn't know you guys had remember. Friends.
Oh my God.
This just is the made worst some
episode. This is the worst
wow.
episode. Ever. This is the worst. Okay. Anyway. So I think you can find these, some of these in grocery stores, and you can find something very similar.
Okay.
At grocery stores or local wine shops if you can't find these. Okay. I will also say one other thing, Mariana, that sparkling wine has actually helped me. It's helped me. Because it has helped me, and I think your mom, change our POV on two specific types of wine. One is Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to say that.
Because Chardonnay is really the grape that you use most often in sparklings.
Yeah, Champagne, a key grape mm-hmm. in Champagne is Chardonnay. Mm-hmm. The other key grape is Pinot Noir. So there you go. Mm-hmm. So changed my tune on Chardonnay.
Right.
I didn't think I liked Chardonnay, but I like
sparkling. Because we drink plenty of sparkling, so we must.
Now, the other one is the rosé style. We used to be, your mom and I used to be really down on.
We were kind of snooty.
Whenever I drink rosé, you'd be like, that's disgusting.
And we were a little snobby about it.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, but sparkling rosé
is good.
Yeah, it kind of changed our mind about about
rosé in general.
Yeah, and very often sparkling rosés are actually made from, do you know what grape? It's going to be a red grape.
Pinot Noir.
No. You got it. Pinot Noir. Yes, exactly. So that's one of the reasons I think why I like it so much too.
That's right.
And so let's talk about these wines. So the first wine we're tasting was one that I was talking about earlier, Carmela, that you couldn't remember
the friends
we went to the friends part. That's right. It's called Pop-Up Sparkling Wine. Mm-hmm. And it's unique because it actually has a pop top.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Oh, a bottle top.
Yeah. Yes. They count. Yeah. Sometimes it's called a crown cap.
Wow.
Oh,
did you
fancy.
Know that?
I did not know that.
It looks like
that.
A crown.
It does.
You know, right? Huh. Now, that may seem strange, but actually, it's pretty logical to have a top like that on a wine like that because the bubble, it's going to keep the bubbles in.
Right.
It's going to keep it from exploding, etc. Yeah, this wine specifically, they don't put no cork in it. They just put the crown cap on it and they're done.
Okay.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh, wow.
That's
okay.
Right. Now, this wine, yeah, exactly. This wine is 100% Chardonnay.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. Wow. And it actually has a vintage on it. It's 2019. Oh. Most sparkling wines don't have a vintage because...
I feel like I was taught that white wine, you don't want it to be older.
Well, that could be part of it. But really why they do it is vintage means that the grapes come from a specific year.
No, I know.
But in sparkling wine, what they often do is they'll blend from a previous year or several previous years into the current year's wine. And so it's not unusual to have a non-vintage sparkling wine because they're mixing years. So they won't put a year on it. But this one has a year, 2019. Hmm. So there you go. Now, Pop-Up comes from Charles Smith Wine, which is located in Walla Walla, Carmela.
Wow.
We were just there. Mm-hmm. And it got a 90 rating from Jeb Dunnock, who's a well-known reviewer, and James Suckling.
Oh, boy. Jimmy.
That's an A.
We don't like James Suckling.
Jimmy's not Dad's favorite.
No. He's just kind of a hack. I think he's kind of a hack.
Everything that he reviews is like a 90 or a 90.
He only gives 90s.
He never, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever rated a wine under 90.
No.
And he just wants a sticker.
Is the scale all the way to zero? Like 0 to 100?
0 to 100. Mm. Although I think technically it's like 50 to 100, but whatever. Okay, this wine is also sustainably farmed, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And this wine is aged for 9 months on the lees in stainless steel. The lees is kind of a fancy term for like dead yeast and all the other gunk left over. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a sparkling wine thing where they just let it age on the lees because it gives it a little bit of that yeasty flavor. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Toast.
And it's also on the brut side, which means it's...
I like that. It's dry.
Yes. Oh my God. I have taught you so well.
No, I know.
I feel like you've really listened to me for once.
Wow. Yeah. More than me, for sure.
For sure. Okay. Now, the next wine we're drinking is called Chemistry Pinot Noir Rosé Bubbles.
That's right.
That's right. So it's a Pinot Noir Rosé. That's kind of fun.
Oh, that's our rosé.
Yeah, that's right. And as you can guess, it's made from Pinot Noir. How about that? That's right. So Chemistry is a winery located in the Willamette Valley of Oregon.
Nice.
And I learned this online. I didn't know this. I don't know who these people are, but it's a collaboration between the Stoller Family Estate and Chehalem Winery. Okay. Now, but here's why it's important. They came together and they say that they make these wines for the weekly wine drinker and that everyone and that everyone should have access to high quality Willamette Valley wines.
They sound fun.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think that's
true?
I think
you'd get along.
I think we would get along. We should meet
we
them.
Might need to visit them.
Shout
now,
out.
That's right. Now, this wine got 90 points and editor's choice from Wine Enthusiast. Mm. So it better be a good wine. Mm-hmm. This wine is also fermented in stainless steel. Mm. And it has very low residual sugar, so I'm expecting it to be brut or very dry as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the last wine we're trying is called Scotto Family Cellars Brut. And it's made from 80% Chardonnay and 20% Pinot Noir.
Oh, so we got one and we got the other and we got a mix.
Isn't that kind of cool? Yeah, so one's Chardonnay, one's Pinot Noir, one's both.
So awesome.
And that Chardonnay Pinot Noir mix is actually kind of that champagne style mix. Mm. And I think this is made in the champagne style. So it's the classic method. The winery isn't very specific about where the grapes come from, other than they come from the Lodi area. Jack, you know where Lodi is, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't believe you.
Where is it? Say it.
California.
Yeah. It is. It's kind of northern.
Northern California.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This wine got a 92 rating from Wine Enthusiast, mm-hmm. and they also say that they're sustainable. So, hey, how about that?
I love sustainability. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something kind of interesting. Wine Enthusiast says the wine is partially barrel-aged, which I think is a little bit unusual for a sparkling wine. Mm-hmm. And the winemaker says that each varietal, so the Chardonnay and the Pinot Noir, each varietal is separately fermented for 6 to 8 weeks, which I think is, I've never heard of that before. I don't know if that's normal.
And then they combine them?
Yeah. So I don't know if that's normal or not. I thought that was kind of interesting. They called it out. I don't know if that's a thing, thing or not, but it sounds cool.
That does sound
cool. I'm curious.
I am very curious. Are you sparkling curious?
We may have to do a little research.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we will. Okay, so this I think this will be fun.
It's going to be so fun.
As you said, Mariana, we have three different American sparkling wines from three different states with three different wine blends. And as you said, Mariana, we have one that's Chardonnay, one that's Pinot Noir, and one that's both.
And we'll see if it is the best of both worlds.
We will find out. Although the barrel aged, I'm a little bit like, I'm not so sure.
I know. Well, I wonder what that's going to do to the flavor.
Yeah, we're going to find out. But we're going to see, too, if we can find if one of these sparkling wines, or maybe all of them, will be new favorites, new go-tos, right?
Yes, for our Tuesday night sparkling toast.
Right. So I think it's time. What do you say?
I'm ready.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our first wine.
Okay. Woo!
Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our first wine. So I'm going to explain the wines and then you guys can smell them.
Okay.
Okay, so this is our first wine is Pop-Up Sparkling Wine. It's from the great state of Washington, the Columbia Valley. It's a 2019. It was $16.99 at wine.com. 12.5% alcohol.
Wow.
100% Chardonnay. And it got a 90 from Jeb Dunnock and a 90 from James Sucky Suckling.
Oh, boy. And again, Jimmy might...
Jimmy, mm-hmm.
He might be not happy with that.
I don't care.
Do you think he listens?
I don't know. Mariana, what are you smelling in this sparkling wine?
I'll be honest, I don't love the smell of it.
What do you smell?
It smells almost like piss.
Ooh, okay. Sometimes that does.
Urine?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, urine.
Like cat urine? Like Audrey urine? That's her cat.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Hmm. I kind of like the smell.
What do you smell, though? Mm-hmm. Any fruits or...
Maybe pineapple.
Okay.
Yeah, some sort of crisp, almost apple sort of...
Okay. A crisp apple, like a Granny Smith or...
Yeah, definitely green apple rather than red apple.
Uh-huh. I'm getting a little toast on mine.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of yeast. You get a little yeast in there?
Or even kind of like a brioche, a little bit sweeter, you think, because of that pineapple or... I don't know. What are you getting on?
I'm smelling a little bit of like cinnamon, maybe a little bit like
baking spices or just cinnamon in particular?
Just like a apple cider, kind of spicy apple cidery. Do you get any of that smell?
Or what about like an apple crisp?
Mm-hmm. Are you guys getting any of that?
I am eating a little bit of sweetness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Should we try? It's always funny to smell sparklings.
I know.
You just don't really see that. I always say that, but I don't think you see people smelling their sparklings.
It's smelly. Okay, what are you tasting?
It's very lightly sparkling.
That's true.
It's like not, definitely not very sparkling. Ooh. I like a little more sparkle, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think this is very pineapple-y.
Yes.
A little tropical.
A little tropical fruit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else?
Mm. It's nice, though. It's mild. I'm not tasting the yeast that I smell.
It doesn't taste alcohol-y at all, no.
Mm-mm. It's not terrible. It's not as sweet as like an apple cider, though. Like you were getting smell of an apple cider. I don't think that you're... tasting that. Mm-mm. Sometimes we have sparklings and they taste like apple cider.
To me, it's lemony. Oh. It's pretty lemony. Oh,
okay. I agree.
Yeah, a lot of citrus.
Yeah, you're getting that. And at the end of it, it feels like almost like lemon or lime even. Mm. Like a little bit of lime on the end.
And acidic.
Mm-hmm. Mm. For sure.
Mm. Nice.
Do you get that at all, Mary?
It doesn't linger.
Mm-mm.
No. It's kind of cleansing.
I'm kind of feeling like a little bit of like grapefruity too. Yeah. Because there's a little bit of that bitterness.
Mm.
Just a touch. Mm-hmm.
Actually, grapefruit, I feel like, is a good describer.
Yeah.
Mm.
Was this one aged in the steel barrels?
Mm-hmm.
Does that give it more of a citrusy or kind of acidic taste? Or
yeah, it'll be a little bit. Yeah, it'll have a little bit more acidity to it from that. It's not mellowed out by like barrels or anything like that.
Mm.
What food might you pair with this sparkling wine?
I kind of like what we're having now. Like a little bit of a, I feel like this is an early evening drink, like maybe out of the gate.
Okay.
An appetizer drink.
Yeah, like a little like charcuterie, cheese, crackers.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, it's so lemony to me. So citrusy. I could see this with like seafood. Ooh. I could see this with like spaghetti and
oysters.
Clams.
Not that we're big oysters, but I can see this as like on Christmas Eve when we have all of the seafood, maybe towards the beginning with the oysters on the half shell.
Yeah.
Bet our family would love that.
Or like the other night, you know, we had the clams.
Mm.
Like it would be good with clams.
I love clams.
I think it'd be good.
Mm.
Maybe with chicken. I think white meats, I think it would be good.
Yeah.
Something a little spicy too.
Mm. Yeah, I think it could handle a little spice.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some fried, something fried.
Or a tiny bit of a stinky cheese would be okay with.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm. I like that.
It can hold a candle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, stinky cheese. All right. Well, we're going to do a little bit of a rating. We're going to rate this wine. And as a reminder on our rating scale, we rate on a scale of 1 to 10, where 7 and above means that we'd buy it. And a 4 or below means we toss it down the sink. And a 5 or 6 means, it's okay, I'll drink it. I'll finish it, but if something's better, I might look for it, but I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with Carmela. Okay. What rating would you give this wine?
I'm going to give this a solid 7.
Okay. Mare?
I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay. 6. So you would not buy this wine?
No, it doesn't offend me, but I will say I'm a tad underwhelmed.
Okay.
Okay.
Jack?
I would probably go with a 7.
Okay. Okay.
I think it depends a little on what you're buying it for.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
Like that kind of seafood pairing. I can see how it goes really well with that. So if I was to, you know, kind of have that pairing set up, I might go with this wine. But if it's a casual, no plans, and I'm out buying a sparkling wine, I might put it at a 6. I might see if there's something I might try elsewhere.
Nice.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Thoughtful.
But overall, I think it is a good, I'm enjoying it.
Okay. You'd buy it. You'd buy it.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. I guess it's a 7. Yeah. And if I saw it, it does have a very distinct, as people might see when they look at the photo, it has a cool, distinct look. I think it would stick out in a store.
Yeah,
so that might
even
push me over the edge from being a 6
into
7. Is it just
it's a cool bottle.
It's a cool bottle. Mm-hmm. And I think people would be surprised.
Experience.
Like when we served it, I think people were, it's got a pop cap. This must be crappy. And then you taste it and it's like, this is pretty good.
I think it's almost like a trendy looking bottle.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't see
that. You know why? It almost tastes like sparkling cider type deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it. It's kind of, I mean, it's a little useful.
My only thing is I wish it was a tiny bit more sparkling.
Okay.
You don't, okay.
It's not a big celebration like Pop Top. And maybe that's because of the crown top.
Might be.
With a name like Pop Up, I want you to pop.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel you.
Okay, what are you giving us?
I'm going to give a 7 as well. Okay. I like it. I'd buy it. I definitely would buy it again.
And it's such a good price.
You did buy it again.
Yeah.
This is a great crowd pleaser sparkling, I
fully
think,
agree.
Too.
Fully
agree. Yeah, I don't think it'll offend anyone.
No.
No.
Fully agree.
Mm.
Can I ask? I have one question.
Yeah.
Mariana, you said your price point was about 10 to 15, and this one coming in at $16.99.
Did it break the bank?
You know, I think that's a factor.
Would you spend the $2?
I don't think I would do it for this one.
Ah.
I think I can find one in my 10 to 15 range that I prefer.
American,
I'll be honest.
American?
Oh, my God. American. Of course.
Okay. All right. I like it.
I have faith in my country.
Wow. I like it. I like it. All right. We are going to take a break, and we are going to try our next wine.
Okay.
Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our next wine. This is called Chemistry Pinot Noir Rosé Bubbles.
Are you trying to say something?
Mm-hmm. We've got some chemistry here. Yeah. It's from Oregon, from the Willamette Valley. It's a non-vintage. Mariana, I'm sorry. This one is $19.99.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
Real expensive. Wine.com. We got it at wine.com.
That is the upper of my budget.
Mm-hmm. It's 12.5% alcohol. It's 100% Pinot Noir, and wine enthusiasts gave it a 90. So what are you smelling?
Mm. Immediately strawberries.
Ooh. Okay.
I'm totally with you.
And I love it.
Mm-hmm. A little creamy almost, too.
Yeah, I do. A little bit of like strawberries and cream, you know? Mm-hmm.
Do you get a little watermelon on it? I always get a little watermelon on a rosé.
I do. I do actually smell the watermelon.
Yeah, Pinot Noir rosé, I get a little watermelon. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I like the smell a lot better than the first one.
Really? Why?
I don't know. It just, it's more, feels like it has a little more depth to it. And
but it's
I
not
just,
as funky, right? Doesn't have
it's
that
not,
little bit of...
No, it's not. And it's not funky. That's true.
Yeah. Like, I think this one is a little fresher smelling.
It almost does have a little floral almost smell to it, too.
Yeah.
It's a tad softer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Let's taste it.
Oh, very florally in the taste, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. It's got a lot of flavor.
Almost tastes rose in it.
And it's
like
bitter.
Almost like rose petals.
It's almost like those, like a bitter cherry. I don't know.
It's a surprising taste. I was not expecting that.
No. Yeah.
The bubbles are a little finer.
Mm-hmm. I almost feel like sometimes they talk about bramble. So I almost feel like this is like not quite ripe strawberry, or like you got a strawberry and a little bit of strawberry leaf with it.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
You with me?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of a little bit of earthy or bitter or something in there.
What do you think the bitter is? Like it does, it's like I don't know what I'm getting. I can't.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like strawberry rhubarb.
Rhubarb.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It does have a bitter kind of tang to it.
Yeah. Really?
I like it.
Yeah.
Do
it's.
You?
This is a yeah. little bit like, this is kind of refreshing. It has a little citrus on it too. Mm-hmm. I think a little tiny bit of citrus, but more like the acidy bitter type of citrus. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of I don't know if I like it.
Yeah, I'm
okay,
not.
Okay, it's okay.
Really?
Yeah. I'm
you
not
like it.
It's a little bold, like a little, maybe too bold for me.
Oh.
I think I like it because it's not like the other girls.
It's like you. It's a little
wow.
loud.
Wow.
Yeah,
a little
it's
bold.
Loud and proud, and you've never seen her before, and you want to know more about her.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like it.
You
I
might
like
want
it.
To date her.
You might.
Okay.
Or you might be afraid of her.
True.
It's okay if you're scared.
Jack's about to run.
Okay. What food would you have with this scary girl?
Depends on who you're talking
Ooh.
To.
True.
I want something grilled.
Okay. Ooh, I like that.
Okay.
I do like that.
Grilled
like a burger or like grilled chicken?
I just want something with kind of a smokier
char on it.
Flavor, like grilled veg would be fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could do like grilled chicken though, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I'm not sure I would do a burger. Would you guys do a burger with this?
No.
Would you?
I don't know if burger, I don't know if I could pair with any sparkling wine. I feel like it would just be a different vibe.
Just wait, you never know.
Maybe the next one will surprise you, but this one I could not do with a burger.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about spicy food?
To me, there's a little bit more like charcuterie board kind of vibe.
Okay. This one, I also think it could hold a candle just drinking it by itself.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, because it has such a distinct, strong taste that perhaps you would not want, you don't need to pair it with food, or nor would you want to.
Might be too overpowering.
Well, I'll say this. I agree. Like, it's very distinct. It's almost a cocktail kind of taste to it.
I agree.
Like, you bitters. Know? Maybe I'm just thinking of, like, bitters that you would put in a cocktail.
So, to what Jack was saying, though, like, it kind of, you could have it as a standalone drink and kind of, like, it's got kind of a cocktail-y kind of taste to it. You know, Paloma. It's got a little Paloma.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little grapefruity or pithy, you know.
Yeah.
I will say it's growing on me at first. Couple sips.
You weren't digging it.
Wasn't digging it.
You weren't
and
feeling
then
it.
I just the last couple sips, I'm kind of like, wait, this might be.
It might have mellowed out a touch too.
Yeah.
Just having that, the bubbles sort of, you know, I think there's probably something to be said about the bubbles sort of, you know, when like with soda pop, when
the first sip is boom.
Yeah. There's a little, and I think when those kind of calm down and they get a little flat, maybe that changes the taste.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. What, Mariana, we're going to start with you. What rating would you give this wine on our 0 to 10 scale?
And you don't like halves.
No, there are no halves, only whole numbers.
Oh, God.
Come on.
I'm indecisive. I would
you gotta
say,
decide.
You know what? I'm going to be bold like this wine and give it an 8.
Okay.
Whoa!
All right. All right. Carmela?
I am going to give it a 6.
Whoa. Jack?
See, this is where I don't want to be like your guy, Jimmy, and give everything.
Everything.
Same.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay.
The other one I said was a 7 or 6, and I like that one better. So where does that put me? I kind of feel like I have to give this one at most a 6.
Okay.
Okay.
But I do like it.
It's tough.
So it's tough. But I would probably say, you know, if I'm looking for a rosé sparkling wine, I would buy it.
Okay.
Yes, I'd have to say a 7.
Okay. He's giving it a 7. He's giving it a 7.
We always, Joe always says that we reserve the right to change
our minds.
Our mind.
So before the end of the podcast, you can say, like, I want to go back.
Like with any of them. Like for the first one, you're like, are you rated it too high or whatever?
Yeah.
You can always withdraw consent.
That's Oh my God. Right. This feels very serious.
If you
serious.
Say no, wow. though, it
no
means
no.
Means
no. No means
yeah.
no.
There's no okay. turning back on whatever. That one.
Okay.
What if you're unsure?
Okay. No. But you have to. No means no. No means no, Jack. Okay. Anyway, do we have to have a strong talk? Okay. Anyway, I'm going to give this one a 7 as well. I like it. I'd buy it. I think it's good. I'm not trying to be James Suckling, but, you know, we're going to go with that. All right. We are going to take a pause and we are going to try our last wine.
All right.
Okay, we are back and we're ready to try our last American sparkling wine. This is from Scotto Family Cellars. It's called Scotto Family Cellars Brut from California. We don't know where in California. It just says California. It's also non-vintage Mariana, 1999 again. Sorry, on the edge.
Wow.
Okay, wine.com is where I got it. 12% alcohol. This is the one that's a blend of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. 80% Chardonnay, 20% Pinot Noir. And wine enthusiasts gave this one a 92. What are you smelling? I feel like you want to just jump on there, Mariana.
You're ready.
I do. Right off the bat, strong scent. And I will say creme brulee.
Ooh.
Wow. I was kind of, you know, I'm kind of smelling like soap, like Dove soap.
I was going to say that. That is amazing.
Dove soap. Don't
you
think?
I've never really used that before.
No.
But it's absolutely soap to me.
Really?
That's so funny,
but
honey.
Like Dove soap, like a fresh.
Now that you say it, yes. But I don't say Dove soap. I would say like a sweet soap. I'm definitely getting sweetness.
You're getting sweetness. Well, if it's barrel aged, it wouldn't be odd that it'd have kind of a honey or vanilla.
Yes, that's what I'm getting.
Are you getting honey or vanilla or both?
I'm getting vanilla-y. But like
I can't believe
vanilla.
that we both said soap.
Almost a little like on the front of it, a little cotton candy maybe.
Yes, sweet is what I'm getting the most of.
But soap was the initial
totally
thing that I totally
soap.
Got.
Yeah, kind of
I'm
that
getting
drying.
A ton of soap.
Did you get
soap?
It all, Jack?
Not
come on,
right
Jack.
Off the
bat. God, come on.
No, that's okay.
Well, we're going to taste it.
Everybody,
unless you have another smell there, Jack.
No, apple crisp. But that
Okay. Apple crisp. All right, Chardonnay can give you that. All right, let's taste it.
Okay.
Ooh.
Oh wow.
Mm.
It is
now
sweet.
It's apple. Jack, I'm totally getting apple on this one.
Yeah, and a
like
kind of
a Granny
apple.
Smith.
I didn't really say it again because I was like, maybe I'm just calling everything apple. But
no, apple crisp is the taste of this one.
It's almost like a hard sparkling cider.
Ooh.
I can't tell if I love it or hate it.
Ooh, this is totally apple. This is like an apple crisp, apple pie with a little citrus on it.
Yeah, but even a little bit of spice too, like baking spices.
That's where I think the apple crisp would come in.
Right. Okay.
Or an apple...
Betty.
Apple Betty.
apple
Betty.
Cobbler.
Ooh, apple cob. Apple cob. What do you think, Mare? A little apple pie with a little cinnamon in it? Mm-hmm. Come on, what's wrong with you?
Little, you know, some like cinnamon-y? Pats of butter.
Butt?
A
pats of butt?
No. I don't
some
know.
Somebody.
It's nice.
I think this is really nice. But it's all apple to me.
Mm-hmm. It's like a light cider. I mean, it tastes like a cider in some ways.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does.
There's just a lot
you like
of apple.
Ciders?
Yeah, I
do too. Yeah.
I'm getting now a little bit of that soap, but I think there's some body to this that's different. Mm-hmm. And there is almost like this, I want to say like lavender or something in there that's a little bit like creamy, but soap creamy.
Yeah, I don't know why
like
we're
soapy.
Getting soap. I mean, did your mom wash your mouth
out?
With
maybe
soap?
She did, and I don't remember. But I mean, do you get a little bit of that, like kind of soapy kind of taste to it? In a good way, like good soap.
Yeah, the last time I had soap, it was delicious.
Oh, wow. let me take one more sip.
Okay.
How about another sip?
And how about one?
I think it's amazing.
Nothing?
I'm just not getting a whole lot of soap. I don't know. But
all
there is a flavor that I can't really detect in there that's like, I don't know.
I am getting citrus on it, though, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure.
Okay, let's do, what food would you have with this wine?
I would do something spicy with this. I think it could stand up to something like Asian food. I think it could do something.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think it would be nice. What do you think?
Really
fish and chips too, though.
I think it could do something greasy. I agree with that.
Grease.
Grease.
Fried chicken.
Okay. Ooh. So we're kind of going down the fried
chicken. Fried chicken and waffles. Honey drizzle.
Fried chicken and waffles, something
that has a sweetness too.
Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Sweet chicken and savory and scotto.
What about chicken nugs and the honey?
Honey, mustard.
Yeah, sweet and sour. Sweet and sour would be good with this, I think.
General Tso's chicken.
Ooh, General Tso's is good. I'd have like toilet water with General Tso's. Wow, I love it.
Okay,
I love it.
That's great.
Okay. Let's start with you, Jack. What rating would you give this Vino Bianco Sparklino?
Wow.
Frizzante.
Be the drama. I might have to arrange my ratings a tad, but I would put this one definitely out of 7. At least, maybe it's borderline. It could be 8.
What are you going to give it? You can't go in between. You got to make a choice.
But then I give everything a 7 and I'm just as
Come
bad
on,
as
James
Jimmy.
Suckling. Let's go.
James, yeah. I'm going to go with
Jimmy. You're right.
Maybe an 8.
Okay, we're going with 8. We're going with 8. Mayor.
Yeah.
Mayor.
I'm going to say a strong 7.
Strong 7. Okay. Carmella.
I'm going to go, you know what, I'm bored. I have the hardest time with this too, but I'm saying a very, very strong 7 too.
Okay, I'm going 8. I'm with Jackson.
Wow.
I'm going with 8. His name's not Jackson.
There we go.
His name's
there
not
we
Jackson.
Go.
His name is John, Jack. Actually. Okay. I learned that.
Now, which of these would you finish tonight? Which one of these would you serve on the 4th of July? No, which one would you serve on the 4th of July?
Oh,
I'd take the rosé, and you know what? I stand by that choice. I feel like I'm going to be the only one, so I'll just take rose that bottle and run.
Okay. Now, this isn't necessarily your favorite, but which one would you serve on the 4th of July? Jack.
The pop-up.
Okay.
The first one.
Carmella.
You know what? I think I'm going to do the pop-up just because I think the bottle is so cool.
That's definitely part of it.
Yeah, it's kind of a casual bottle. You're out on the beach, and you're kind of pop-up and down it. And enjoy it right on the beach during the day when your kids are doing their, like, you know, relay races. Okay.
I got it. I'm with you. So I agree. On the 4th of July, I'm serving the pop-up. It's the cheapest. It's fun. It's kind of cool looking. It looks festive. I think this last one is my favorite.
Okay.
Wow. But the pop-up would win for 4th of July.
I do think that if you're trying to impress a crowd, you can't do the pop-up.
I'm not sure.
No,
I agree
because
with that.
it's just too casual.
Okay. Well, all right.
Depends on the crowd.
If you're not trying to offend, you do the pop up. But if you're trying to impress, you don't do the pop up.
All right.
Depends on maybe the event. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if you're really, really, really trying,
you're trying to make a statement. Maybe I should say.
Okay.
Well, the statement totally goes to the rosé.
Okay.
Because that just had the most unique, like, kind of wow factor.
See,
it was
and it's
not
red,
what you were
it's
expecting.
White, you're just missing the blue.
True. Wow, that's so amazing.
Wow.
All right, let's talk about the taste profiles. Okay. This is taking too long. Let's talk about the taste profiles expected from these sparkling wines. The pop-up. Jeb Dunnock says, a clean, pretty nose of tart lemons, green apple, and mint. A good kiss of sulfur.
That was the urine I was getting, for sure.
The winemaker, I like it. The winemaker says, lilac, yellow plum, pea vines, creamy pea vines. And delicious. Tangerine oil, anise, stone, and baguette.
Okay. We had toast too. Yeah, we did okay.
Okay, chemistry. The winemaker says, sweet aromatics of bubblicious watermelon.
Fill the glass
with hints of peaches and cream.
Oh, green.
Showing flavors of watermelon and tart strawberry.
Good job, Pete.
There you go. Wine Spectator says, leading with a wheaty savor, it resolves to reveal a bright and juicy cherry-scented wine, a plush and chewy crowd-pleaser for summer sipping. Mm. And the Scotto, the winemaker says, ripe fruit and crisp citrus. Aromas of pear, ripe tropical fruit are followed by tinges of vanilla and brown spices. Mm-hmm. And Wine Enthusiast says, aromas of toast and fig that lead into flavors of just ripe pippin apple and bosque pear on the palate.
Wow.
So there you go.
Nice.
I think we did okay.
I think we did good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we got a lot of those.
I think
like,
we got
flavors.
The general vibe of each of them.
The vibe. Yeah, for sure. I think so as well. Okay, well, this was really fun. Carmella,
so fun.
Mariana, Jack, thanks for joining us.
Yay.
Anytime.
You guys are naturals, I say. Huh?
What do you say, American Sparklers? Is it okay for 4th of July to have that?
Or do you have to have beer? I'm going to have it at my 4th of July.
Okay. I love it.
Your birthday party?
Mark my words.
All right. Mm. Okay. Perfect. Well, on that note, it's about time for us to go. But before we do, we want to thank you very much for listening. And if you haven't had a chance to do so yet, subscribe. Just hit that little subscribe button. Come on, what's wrong with you?
Boom.
Just bam. Poke it. Yeah, poke it. Jack, come on. Okay, and you can also leave us a nice rating or review on our website or Apple Podcasts or wherever, and you can leave us a message on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com, or you can just email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com, and you should follow us on Instagram, and you should follow
Munch with Mare
on Instagram.
That's munch.with.mare, Instagram.
Nice. Wow.
M-A-R.
Mare is M-A-R, that's right. And with that, we're going to say goodbye.
We bid you adieu.
And we'll see you next time. And as we like to say, Mariana and Jack, life is short, so stop drinking shitty wine. Now, bye-bye.
Bye.
Always think too much. Always drink too much. Always drink too much. Always drink too much. And when I'm with you too much.